Okay, let me just put this over here. All right. Well, I understand you're afraid there's not enough food. I have not been to anything in these neighborhoods where there's never been enough food. And I'm sure the Christmas time will not be any different. Some of you have mentioned that you were remembering my sister on Wednesday night, and we appreciate that. She has mentioned how she has felt the prayers of the saints in her situation, and so we really appreciate that. She's had 1 week of full brain radiation, Monday to Friday last week, and tonight we're going to have to get out of here fairly quickly because we've got to go home and pack. And then tomorrow morning, early, I'm not going to be bright and early, just early, we're going to head to Pickering to pick her up, to bring her down for the week again. The side effects, because of prayer, have not been as drastic as we initially thought it was going to be. She's had headaches pretty much all the time, but they've been livable. And she was sick to her stomach. Seemingly, we found out Thursday that having radiation, it swells the brain, and when you lie down at night, the brain swells, and as a result, when you get up, you feel sick. And so she has not only felt sick, but followed through with that. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We saw the doctor Thursday night, and they said, get some Gravol, and use that in the evening and in the morning. And lo and behold, she did that, and Friday morning, she wasn't sick. So that worked. And so for the most part, it's been a lot better than what we thought it was going to be. Now, mind you, we, all four of us, were in her daughter and her and my wife and I went in to see the brain surgeon before this all happened. And they said, well, what happens is you get radiation in one spot one day and radiation in another spot another day and so on. They worked all through the week. That's what we all thought, she had said anyway. We got there. No, she gets full brain radiation every time she goes for about 10 minutes each time. So it's still challenging. Pray for Marie, especially on Thursday. Okay. I had been asked to be in Burlington to use my ventriloquist friend at a Christmas banquet, and then I got an email to say no, they had other things planned, and so to come January the 21st. Well, last Thursday I got another email reminding me that this Thursday I'm supposed to be there, and it happens to be just about the same time we're supposed to have Grace down at the hospital, so Marie's going to have to fight the Toronto traffic in the van and get her down while I take Grace's car and head to Burlington to do this commitment. So pray for Marie and Grace that they get through the traffic without too much trouble. Anyway, let's get on with our study. The last offering that's in the first five to seven chapters of Leviticus. The peace offering. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 3. This offering is called the peace offering, but it is also, or can also be called, pardon me, the fellowship offering. Now, this morning, we dealt with the sin offering, and we talked about restitution and repletion. And someone asked me afterwards, is that for today? And I would suggest that as best you can, it is for today. That if you think you have hurt somebody or harmed someone, then you remember the Lord said, if you have an offering and you bring it and you realize there's something between you and another brother or sister, then go and get it straightened out. And then come and offer. And so I believe that if the Lord brings to your mind that you have hurt someone in some way, then you need to straighten it out. And obviously, you do that if it means they've lost as a result, then there's still injury, and so therefore, restoration is a necessary thing. The peace offering. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. The oblation means that he is bringing a gift. Okay? So if his oblation, if he brings a gift for sacrifice and it's a peace offering, then it says if he offer of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof around about upon the altar. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof and the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul after the above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even as offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the Lord upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Over to chapter 7 and verse 11. Chapter 7 and verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, and of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heaven offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now down to verse 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and fat, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I given to the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. Now, if we were to read Romans 5 and 1, we would read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Father, as we look at this offering, we do pray that you would just guide our thoughts and teach us what you want us to know. May Christ be glorified even tonight as we study thy word. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. Peace offering. First of all, there's the proclamation. There was a cartoon. Frank Harrington of, I don't know where he was from, but anyway, he wrote about it. And he says, I saw a Peanut cartoon with Lucy saying to Charlie Brown, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole world. Charlie says, but I thought you had inner peace. Lucy replied, I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness. Sometimes that's the way we react, right? It's interesting, when we come to know Christ as Savior, he gives us peace. And that's basically what the peace offering is all about. The fact that we have peace with God. Some of us get that peace, and yet with everything around us, it seems there's obnoxiousness, as Lucy said. But peace. And the peace offering really is a proclamation of that peace. It was distinct from all the others because everyone involved had a part of that offering. Okay. It wasn't that the offering made peace, but that the offering celebrated the peace already made. Christ's blood proclaims peace to those who put their trust in him. Ephesians 2:13-14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath brought down the middle wall of partition between us. And so he has made our peace. Colossians 1:19-22, we read verse 20, but to read the whole section here, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What a position is ours when we accept Christ as our Savior. There's peace with God. Now, There's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Some of us have peace with God, but we don't have the peace of God. And yet we need to have that in our lives as well. And so really, this is a proclamation to say that peace is available. But we look at the process. It's interesting as we look at this, there were a number of different processes, all very similar. But you'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, it said that it was of the herd. Now, we are familiar by now, I would trust, that we realize that the herd was the ox or the cattle, and they represented being a beast of burden. They were used for plowing and so on and so forth. And so we discover that this brings out Christ as the servant. Christ as the servant. Okay? And so we see that in verse 1. And then we find there was the offering of the flock in verse 6 of the flock. But there were really two different offerings here, because it goes on to talk about the verse 7, it says, a lamb. And the lamb reminds us of Christ as the sacrifice. Christ as the sacrifice. He was the one we noticed again this morning who was the Lamb of God. He was the one who came to bear our sin. But then there was the flock of the flock in verse 6. But then verse 12 says that there was a goat that could be used instead. So that was still of the flock, okay? And when we look at that, the goat, you remember, brings us back to the sin offering. And so Christ was the sin offering. The sin offering. But then we notice something unusual about this, in a sense, although in part, we have seen it before, but we notice that it could be male or female. It didn't matter. Now, why would that be? Well, I suggest to you that male was the rightfully independent one, and Christ was the one who was independent, but it indicates active obedience. He went ahead and obeyed his Father. He set, as it were, his eyes as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He was actively pursuing the will and obeying the will of his Father. And so that's the male. But the female, I'm getting ahead of myself here, the female was to be the submissive one. And that brings in passive obedience. And we see that, don't we, when we go to his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any possibility, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there he demonstrated that idea of passive obedience. Lord, it's what God, Father, it's whatever you want, I will do. It was that submitting to the Father's will. Now, we notice that there wasn't this distinction in the other offerings. And I suggest to you that in fellowship, because this one here, another name for this one, the peace offering, is the fellowship offering. And we'll see why that comes in too. But the fellowship, in fellowship, there's no difference between male and female. We're all created equal. There's no difference. However, in responsibility, there is a difference. Okay? There's certain things that God expects in His church that the men do, and there are other things that He expects the women to do. And it's a case of responsibility. It doesn't mean one is inferior or superior to the other, but there is differences in our responsibility. And then we notice, and I've got it up already, this animal was again to be without defect. In each case, the animal was to be without defect or without blemish, reminding us again of Christ's sinless perfection, because these animals represented Him. And then we discover that the offerer, notice verse 2, and he, that is the offerer, because it starts off in verse 1, if his oblation is be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer, and then we get to verse 2, and he shall lay his hand upon the head. So the offerer was to come along and lay his hand on the head. And as we've seen in some of the in the other offerings, that represented indicating that this animal is taking what I deserve. So there was connection there. There was relationship there in that. There was identification. And we notice that verse 2 and verse 8 and verse 13 all mention that. But then it goes on, and those same verses indicate that he, so again, that would be, in my understanding, the offerer was to kill the offering. Again, it would emphasize that this is what I deserve. Okay? So there's relationship there. And then we find that the priest was to sprinkle the blood on the altar. Priest was to, and again reminding us that there's no peace without the shedding of blood. And there's no fellowship without Christ's blood being shed. Well, then we get to the portions. And this is rather interesting. We go to chapter 3. And what do we see there? We see that it was for the Lord. Now, it's interesting as we go through here how the Lord is so involved in this peace or fellowship offering. Four times over, it says they offer it before the Lord. Before the Lord. Verse 1 tells us that. Verse 7 tells us that. Verse 12 tells us that. In chapter 7 and verse 30, it tells us that. It was before the Lord. Then we notice, if I can catch up, it was unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And 11 times it tells us that they offered it unto the Lord. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, chapter 7, verse 11, chapter 7, verse 14, chapter 7, verse 21, and twice it mentions it in verse 29. So, unto the Lord. And then it says, it was the Lord's. Twice over. Verse 16 of chapter 5 and verse 30 of chapter 7. And then it says, the Lord spake. It says that once. Okay? In chapter 7 and verse 28. Now, why do I emphasize that? Well, that means that 18 times there's reference in these short verses of the Lord. So this peace offering was for the Lord. You know, when he prepares, when he brings us into relationship with him, he grants us peace. But it's really for him. It's really for him. I mean, yeah, we benefit from it. But it's really for him that this peace is offered to us. Then again, we noticed the fat, which was the natural energy. That was the Lord's. In other words, the word actually means best. May I suggest to you that it tells us that what the Lord wants from us is our best. He wants our best. Whatever we do for him, he wants our best. I lead the singing at Brockview sometimes, and I always try to get the hymns to the pianist and the organist by Thursday, so that they can go over them, so that they can do their best in that ministry. But then I make sure that I prepare early enough too. Okay? And the whole thing is, we need to do our best. It doesn't matter what we're doing. If it's for the Lord, we need to give our best. The Lord doesn't want our second best. He wants our best. And then the inwards were the natural affections. We've noticed that before. The kidneys actually means perfections. Again, bringing out the idea that we should be doing our best. Then there was the lobe or the caul above the liver. And it's interesting, the Hebrew there really means superabundance of glory. And, of course, all the glory is to him, right? And then it was to be offered up in smoke. Okay? But it's interesting what it says there. Notice in verse 3, or chapter 3, rather, verse 11. Right in the middle of the verse, it says, it is the food. Notice verse 16. It is the food. We have a saying in Brockview, and some of us have anyway. We don't say until we meet again, we say until we eat again. Because every time we get together for fellowship, there seems to be food involved. And we seem to have a lot of it. Food. You know, the intriguing thing is for the Lord. And as they brought this fat, inwards, kidneys, lobe or caul above the liver, and so on, and they offered it up, it was food for the Lord. Food for the Lord. And that's interesting to remember that. But then also it was as flavor, because in verse 5 it says a sweet savor. Verse 16 says for a sweet savor. And so over and over again it emphasizes the fact that this was to be a sweet aroma or a sweet flavor to God. So the first thing we notice then is that this offering was for the Lord. Okay? Not only was it for the Lord, but we discover in chapter 7 that it was for the priest. Now, how did that come about? Well, we discover the breast was given. The breast of the beast was given to the priest. It was first offered to the Lord as a wave offering. But then the priest enjoyed it. Okay? Reminding us, because it was the breast, reminding us again of love and affection. And it belonged to Aaron and his sons. And it reminds us that you and I are to love one another. We are to love each other. But then, not only was there the breast, but there was the right shoulder or thigh. And this ended up, again, it was presented to the Lord first. Okay? Presented to the Lord first. Everything goes to Him first. And then we discover that it was presented as a heave offering. Okay? Because it's a little heavier. Got to heave it, I guess. But it was a heave offering. And then we discover that after being presented, the priest that offered the sacrifice got to have this. Okay? Then the flanks and the loins were given there to the priest. And the Hebrew there is confidences. So even our confidences, even the things that we know we can do well, we need to hand over to the Lord. And then it also, the flanks and so on, the legs remind us of strength. But then we discover that there was a portion for the offerer. The rest of the sacrifice was the offerer, was for the offerer. And it brings out satisfaction. So as we come and realize and proclaim our peace, there is fellowship in that. God gets a portion. The other priests, Aaron's sons, they all get their portion. And the one bringing the offering gets his portion. Well, then we have, it produces fellowship. Fellowship for God. We find there was a sweet savor. Fellowship for the priests. There was strength in it. And fellowship for the offerer. He got satisfaction. Well, very briefly, going over the particulars. There were actually two peace offerings. The first peace offering was a peace offering of thanksgiving. Do you ever thank God for the peace that He's brought us? With it, they were to eat on the same day. Okay? Don't leave it until the morrow. They would eat it the same day. Chapter 7, verse 12. What this tells me is that Christ may return today. Do you believe that? Christ may return today. Many of us, I don't think, really grasp that. As I say many times, if we did, we'd probably eat our dessert first before, you know, the rest of the meal. But we really don't realize that Christ may return today. He may get here before we get home tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Well, we'd be home then. Christ may return today. And so that's the idea that I get from this whole Thanksgiving offering, and they had to eat it on the same day. And it brings out a sacrifice of praise for God's glory, because it reminds us that when we get there, we will stand before the bema of Christ. And Hebrews 13 and 15 talks about the sacrifice of praise to God, continually giving thanks, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But it's interesting, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels, New American Standard says, the motives of what we do of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now I take it from that, and I stand to be corrected, but I take it from that that these crowns that we get for what we do for him are going to mean how much we can praise him through all eternity. Wow. If I don't serve him, if I don't have gold, silver, precious stones, I'm not going to be able to praise him. We need to be working for those rewards that he's willing to give us. Well, then there's the meal offering that goes along with it. And interestingly, it includes leavened cakes. And leaven, of course, we know speaks of sin. You see, you and I are not always pure in our motives. Right? Sometimes we don't know. Why do I stand up here and preach? Is it for my own glory or is it for him? I hope it's for him. But sometimes it can be mixed. Right? We need to do things for him. And so therefore, this has leavened cakes. And then we benefit because we are able to offer him glory through this. All right. The second one was a free will or vow or voluntary offering. And in this particular case, it was to be eaten in 2 days. Okay. But not the third. Very specific on that. And what it reminds me of, we said the first one, which was to be eaten in the first day, reminds us that Christ may come today. This reminds me that Christ might not come for a while. And so we're to be living in the fact that Christ might come today and be ready, but live in such a way that if he doesn't come today, we still carry on, right? Serving him. And so it brings in the idea of service. Psalm 65, 1 and 4 bring out that praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, beloved, Christ may come today. We have peace with God. But we need to make sure that the peace of God is working in our lives as well. Father, we thank thee for the peace that you have made. And we do pray that we might display that in our lives, and we might enjoy it, and that there may be fellowship with one another and with you. We realize, as we've gone through these offerings, that all goes to you first. And so we praise thee and give thee thanks for what you have done for us. And we do pray that we might honor you in our lives here as you give us time. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen.